This is University Forum. I'm Jean Moore, bringing you conversations with outstanding personalities on issues of interest to local, national, and international communities. Our program today is Latin Fiesta. Just heard is Malagueña from Spain. It's from the first track of Latin Fiesta's album Amor a la Vida. I'm delighted to welcome back to University Forum the internationally renowned co-founders of Latin Fiesta with a mission for building cultural bridges through musical performances. My guests are the award-winning professor of piano at Temple University and co-founder and co-director of the Dorothy Taubman Seminars in New York City, the artistic director of Latin Fiesta, a native of Havana, Cuba, my good friend Maria Del Pico Taylor. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, Jean. It's a pleasure. I always love doing your shows, and I love your energy and your enthusiasm. It's wonderful.
Well, you have someone else with you today that we didn't have the last time we did a show, some 8 years ago almost, your spouse, the distinguished performer and teacher of both violin and piano, with a track record of membership in multiple ensembles, including orchestras and Emmy Award shows and bands, the program coordinator of Latin Fiesta, a gentleman with an English background, professor of violin at Eastern College, St. David's, Pennsylvania, Raymond Taylor. Welcome, Ray.
Thank you very much, Jean. Unfortunately, I've lost my English accent, so I don't sound too convincing, but I was born in England. Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, I tell you, it's fascinating to me because you know, I was listening to the album that you shared with me, which is called Latin Fiesta, Amor de la Vida. And it covers such a wide range of Hispanic music from different countries that you wonder about the same being all Hispanic or Hispano. ¿Cómo se dice?
Se dice, muchas personas dicen Hispanos, muchos dicen Latinos. I'm talking in Spanish. I just realized. Yes. Many people feel more comfortable saying Hispanos. Some people feel more comfortable saying Latinos. You call me either way, I will respond.
Well, if I call the gentleman next to you,
yes,
who is an Englishman, I want you to tell me first about the Cuban and the Englishman, both outstanding musicians. How did both of you meet? How did you meet?
Well, we met at the University of Toronto. We were students. And it's a funny story, actually, Jean, because we used to have to pay for the studios to practice. And I had rented a studio, and when I walked into the studio, Ray was practicing. So I said, I'm sorry, but your time is up. And that
literally,
was the beginning. Literally, it was up. So that's how we met. And then he had just come back from a trip to Puerto Rico, and he was all enthused about the Hispanic culture, and he kept following me all over the place. So I want to talk about Puerto Rico. I thought, oh my goodness, what is he talking about? But anyway, that was the beginning.
Well, what did you think about that, Ray?
I was very excited because he was a very charming, chic Spanish lady, and I've just met. Being to Puerto Rico, I was enthralled by the culture there.
Yeah, so. You didn't know whether she was Cuban or Puerto Rican?
Not at that moment. I found out very quickly, though.
He just thought I looked cute.
Yeah.
Well, you know, though, you have such a beautiful set of music in that CD that you shared with me, and you have all these different kinds of countries with different kinds of music, and in fact, one of them doesn't speak Spanish at all. Isn't that Brazil? Brazil has
Portuguese.
Oh, yes,
Portuguese. That's right. Portuguese. You're
Portuguese,
right. You're right.
Yeah. But you have other countries. You have Cuba, Puerto Rico, the USA, Argentina, Brazil, and Spain. And the album itself is quite good. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, when you were in Canada,
uh-huh,
you went there on a scholarship of some kind.
Yes.
Is that right?
Canadian Council Scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Did you go back to Cuba?
I went back to Cuba once, and then everything happened, and, you know, and I never really went back after that. It's very sad, but I don't have any ties to Cuba anymore.
No ties?
No, I have no ties. My family is gone, and some of them have passed away, so I really don't have any ties to Cuba.
Well, you have a very beautiful insert in the CD, Amor a la Vida, and although it's not about your separation from Cuba,
yes,
it is Adios a Cuba. And we're going to play a few seconds of that.
Thank
right
you.
Now. You learned about the change in Cuba and how it affected you? I mean, how did you hear about this changeover of the government?
How did I hear about it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was in Cuba when the government changed, and I had a lot of trouble coming out afterwards, you know.
Oh, you were there at the time?
Well, I had just come for Christmas vacation,
mm-hmm.
and I had a lot of trouble coming out, and then eventually I did. And it was very soon after that my family began to realize that this was a very serious change. My father was an attorney, and he was involved in real estate, and he realized that these things were just not going to be possible much longer, and he realized that this government was not heading in the way that he thought it was going to head.
Mm-hmm.
And he left. My mother actually convinced him to leave because she realized it wasn't safe to be there anymore.
Mm-hmm. So that piece that we just played in many ways reflects your feeling about Adios a Cuba.
Well, it does, Jean. It's a very sad thing to be really totally away from all your roots. I love my country. Cuba was a beautiful, beautiful island. I love it. The piece actually written by Ignacio Cervantes, was written in a similar situation. He was actually he was living during the time of the revolution against Spain. And he was doing some revolutionary activities, and the governor at the time, Governor Balmaceda, said, "You either stop the activities or you leave, and otherwise you're going to end up in jail." So he did, and that's when he wrote that particular song, or that particular piece, rather. It's a piano piece. Mm-hmm. And it's very close to my heart because it has an awful lot of sensitive moments. It's a longing, you know, for something that, you know, was and is no longer.
But fortunately for you, you met someone who must
yes.
have taken your mind off of a lot of that.
Yes.
and Ray, how did you become so immersed in Latin fiesta? I'm not going to ask Maria at this point, but at some point she'll tell me a little bit about how it all started, and we can give a little bit of history about Latin fiesta. But how did you become a part of that?
Well, there's a funny thing. There's a saying, the fastest way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that.
Well, part of the culture was the food. I love Spanish food and Cuban food. And so I was, of course, very attracted to Maria and her personality. And it was one time that Maria, before she became really immersed in researching the Spanish background, she was invited by a colleague from Northwestern University, where she was teaching, to come and do a lecture recital on Spanish music. And she thought, wow, that's a good idea. And that's what really started. And of course, I went with her.
Mm-hmm.
We played a performance, and we had to do a little research. And then that's how it started. It was quite a few years ago. That was in Georgia.
In Georgia?
It was the University of Georgia, was it?
Yes, yeah. It was. Yes.
That's right. Pretty well how it started. And of course, as a violinist, I always loved the Spanish repertoire.
Hmm.
So it was quite easy. And of course, my background is Russian-Jewish, and you know, there's a little bit of the gypsy there who went all over the world. So,
and somewhere in there, the English.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, there's English there too.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about the history of Latin Fiesta, because you know, when you say Latin Fiesta, people think of an event. This is going to be a fiesta. But Latin Fiesta is not just an event.
Yes.
It's an organization, isn't it?
Exactly. I tell you, It all evolved. One thing that always interests me is the fact that the Hispanic background is very varied. The musicologists considered one of the richest folklores in the world. So it always interested me to explore the various possibilities. So Latin Fiesta started first as a small group. Then we realized that the element of the dance is very much at the center of the sound. Cervantes used to say that babies came out of the mother's womb dancing. So the first new member that we added was a dancer. And then, of course, percussion is tremendously important, so we added percussion. Then our daughter became the lead singer. Our daughter Vanny, she's a wonderful singer. And it evolved eventually into the concept that it is right now. Right now we have piano, violin, a Venezuelan cuatro, flute, three percussionists, flamenco dancer from Mexico who is outstanding, and she also does all types of other Latin American dances, and a bass player.
So, you did say violin in there, didn't you?
Did I say violin?
well, you're sitting next to a violinist. Yeah.
Good listening, Gene.
If I can refer back to the forming of Latin Fiesta, it was interesting because we were doing a concert at Music Fest in Bethlehem before we actually coined the name. We were thinking, what should we call ourselves? And they titled the show Latin Fiesta. And it struck us as that may be a good name to use. So it was back then that we actually got the name from somebody who just said that was a program that we were doing at Music Fest.
But it became more than a fiesta per se.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
I mean, the first time I heard about Latin Fiesta, I said, oh, they're having a festival there. They're going to have a good time here, you know?
Yes.
But I didn't think of the continuity in this until I started looking back.
Yes,
early notes.
And the repertoire has gotten a lot more sophisticated. I mean, we have commissioned pieces that we have played with symphony orchestras, which are a lot different from the beginning. And we have covered a lot wider gamut of the Spanish repertoire, like you see on the CD. So this is our mission. We just want to present to the audiences the idea that this folklore is not just one type. It's not just a particular genre, a particular dance genre, but it's many different types, many countries. It would take a lifetime to study the music of just one country.
Talk a bit, though, about some of the performances that you've given in the past and some of the places, perhaps, that you've performed. I know we talked about an event. You may not remember this, but when we met about some 8 years ago, you mentioned the fact that someplace you had to have your piano, and the piano sounded pretty good in the beginning, but then when you got there...
Oh.
Tell that story again.
Oh, you want me to tell that story again? Oh, Gene, this is a funny story. What memory you have? Well, this was a long time ago. We always used to make a point of looking at the pianos before we went because you never know the fanciest places where they could have. This was a show we were doing at a big fancy hotel. And we went to just see the piano that they had there. And when we found, it was fine. It was new and played a little bit. Couldn't play too much because it was another affair going on at the time. But then when we were announced finally on the day of the show, and here is Latin Fiesta, the piano, the pedals did not work. I mean, it's just one of these. We made the trip, we did everything. It never occurred to us because we couldn't play it at the time. And it looked fine. It was brand new. It was Stanley, that it didn't work.
I often wondered how you got out of that. It's a terrible thing to have the pedals working.
It is a terrible thing. We had to modify a number of pieces, and try to do things that did not require so much pedaling. We had to be a quick change on the spot, thinking on your feet, like we say,
Now, things happen a lot with violins, the strings break and all that kind of thing. You ever had any experiences like that?
I've been very fortunate. They have broken, but never in a performance.
Is that right?
I've been quite fortunate. That
you see?
Touch
see?
Wood.
There you go. There goes the equanimity there. This is the calmness.
Yes. And I always advise my students when they get violins, get another set of strings handy, just in case.
But you came together and... between the two of you and now your daughter was born right during this period of time, and so you have now others in it. Are there about eight people in the
actually in some instances ten. And you mentioned about where we have played. Well, one of the things, we have a manager in New York, Monica Robinson, and she has expanded our offerings to symphony orchestras, and we have played as soloists with symphony orchestras, original commissioned repertoire all over the United States. Mm-hmm. In Philadelphia, actually, we have done three performances with the Philadelphia Classical Symphony, premiering this repertoire, and also we had done pre-concert encounters with the Philadelphia Orchestra. But we have been in Tulsa, in Michigan, in Jacksonville. I mean, all over. Mm-hmm.
You've been Jackson.
Jackson, Tennessee.
Yeah, you've been places that needed that kind of culture, and,
well,
who, and who needed who to, and who somehow. Tell me what the outcomes would be. How do you feel it actually bridged some differences or whatever?
How do we bridge the differences?
Yeah,
you know, Jean, I tell you, I've been thinking a lot about that. I like a phrase that Barbara Streisand said once, that she said, what comes from the heart goes to the heart. We love what we do. We love the music. We love people, whether we're playing for children or for audiences in concert halls. I think what comes across is the fact that we are in love with what we do. The enthusiasm comes across. We also try, however, to diversify the program. You know, we think that the musician has to be sensitive to the audiences that he's playing to, and do things in a palatable way that they will be able to understand. Sometimes we do something a little bit more serious, but then we do something a little lighter so that everybody is connected with the music one way or another. We also do a lot of audience participation activities.
Well, that sounds like you do a whole lot to bring people together. And as we remind our audience that they're listening to University Forum with my guests, they're going to hear something behind this,
yes.
Another piece, which is actually from Brazil, known as what? The Rain Stick, is that right?
The Rain Stick, Paulo Chuva, yeah.
You're listening to University Forum, my guest Maria del Pico Taylor and her husband Raymond Taylor discussing Latin Fiesta. And this year is going to be a very special event.
Yes.
This year, Latin Fiesta is presenting something special that says what? Hispanos? Many roots? Many faces?
You got it.
Talk about what that is and how that came about and when it will take place ultimately, because this has been a long year
yes.
pulling all this together.
Jean, this is a real dream of ours. We have been fortunate to have been given a grant from the Philadelphia Music Project, which is a very prestigious organization in the city, for $30,000 to present this program. What is at the heart of this program is the creation of a new piece called Alma Latina, which will be, or has been written rather, by two Grammy Award-winning composers, Oscar Hernandez, who is the director of the Spanish Harlem Orchestra, and Carlos Franchetti, Argentinian, in New York. Carlos was nominated for Best Classical Composer of the Year this year, actually, for a Grammy. So the suite will consist of six movements: tango, milonga, poema nocturno, bolero, danzón, and salsa. It's about a 25-minute piece, and nothing like this exists in the repertoire, to my knowledge. So we are coming together as a Latin Fiesta, but also with some guest artists. We have Raúl Jaurena, bandoneon player for the tango. You cannot have a tango without bandoneon. We have Dave Valentin, international artist on flute. We have Christian Puig, who is actually on our CD, who is a wonderful flamenco singer and guitarist. And then we have Alo Brasil, which is a local group who does different types of Brazilian music. They are wonderful. So the program is a big program, and then it will have a segment with Alo Brasil, a segment with Latin Fiesta, then a small cuadro flamenco with our dancer, wonderful flamenco dancer, and the flamenco guitarist, and then finally the premiere of this Alma Latina, which is beautiful. So it's a very large program, much different to what Latin Fiesta has done in the past. We will have actually a choreographer, and we will have a stage director, and
all kinds of things.
All kinds of things.
Yeah. Now, this is going to take place
at the
May 20th. Is
mm-hmm.
that correct?
That's right.
And the coordinator of a lot of these activities is sitting next to you also, your husband. I've been getting a lot of emails and things over time. Uh-huh. And when this program airs, it'll be still some time before that show is to come on. So our audience will have a chance to hear and to make contact in order to get to the program. Yes. What do you want to talk about here, Ray? Because I think you have been a very, very busy man recently.
Well, I think what you're talking about now is of great interest to me.
I mean, in terms of this, what you've been reaching out to people and I know sending emails and information, and it's been very helpful to me to get copies of a lot of things.
Well, I have to admit that my wife is the computer expert. I think that most of the emails probably will be coming from her. My means of communication usually is the telephone. But, of course, I do a lot of teaching also. In fact, I've added some Spanish repertoire to even the young people. I have a set of pieces which are like elementary level. One is a cha-cha, another is a tango, and a rumba, and a waltz.
And I think some of those students ought to find themselves in that room when the performance is coming off.
I'm telling everybody. In fact, one thing that's kind of interesting to me is I just recently, last week, I landed a new position, a new job. I'll be teaching at the, it's a Suzuki-based program in Allentown, and the location is ideal. It's right on the second floor of Symphony Hall, where the Allentown Symphony plays. And they have a very good space there.
Would you explain between the two of you what that is, that you say the Suzuki? Talk about
Suzuki,
what
Suzuki, when Suzuki started with the Japanese children, he found that everywhere in the world, children learn their mother tongue language. So he decided he actually introduced a Western type music to Japanese children, initially by ear. It follows the same concept as learning your language. First, even before the baby is born, it hears the sounds. And when it's finally born, the sounds are repeated over and over. So finally the baby says, mama or papa. Of course, then there's the encouragement of the parents. And then the environment takes precedence over you're born that way. Mm-hmm. So he felt that everybody has the ability to learn music. It's much more involved than that.
So you both do that? Do you use that same method of time?
No.
You use the Taubman?
The Taubman, yeah. Well, actually, I teach, I teach at Temple, and I teach mostly piano majors, and they all are different, so they receive different treatments according to what they need. But the Taubman technique is particularly important because, it's a system to help develop pianistic coordinations to the maximum that you possibly can. It's an extraordinary thing. And we have a festival that we do in the month of June every year. This year we're doing it at Lincoln Center. Mm-hmm. And my students profit from that knowledge because it's rather unique.
Well, getting to this program that's going to take place, what kinds of highlights are there? You've mentioned some of the names of the people who will be performing. What actually do you hope to happen as a result of this event?
Oh, Jean, I think this will be a very significant thing for Latin Fiesta. For one thing, we are developing some very good sponsorships. Univision is going to be one of the biggest sponsors, and there are other things that I cannot mention right now. But it's really spread the word about Latin Fiesta considerably. We have people from various organizations that are doing things like, for example, Annenberg Center is just publishing in their program the ad about Latin Fiesta. I've just been working with Peter Nero and some people from his organization are helping me to spread the word too. I've done some lectures for him. And I think the presence on the Avenue of the Arts will be very significant because we will be opening the idea of Latin Fiesta to the regular concert scores on the Avenue. And actually, it's funny because we were one of the artists that opened the Arts Bank Theater. So we're going back to the Arts Bank Theater right now, but we're with a much more prestigious and big program.
Tell me what you think bringing these different people together, especially talking about Hispanics, of different roots and different backgrounds, what will this do among people of Hispanic background? Will it help to build any differences, making them more of a solidified group?
I think that we say in our mission statement that we want the Hispanics to feel pride in their heritage. It is a beautiful heritage, and is somewhat different, and yet there are a lot of similarities between the different nationalities, the Cubans, the Puerto Ricans, the Argentinians, you know, and so on. So, yes, we do hope to bring a group of people there from different Latino nationalities and the Americans. Americans just love this music, and this is my home now. Mm-hmm. So we always are in favor of unity, absolutely.
Because it's one thing to talk about it for the public to come who are not Hispanic, but I'm thinking about those several different groups. You look at your album, and you have that array of different backgrounds in it. You hear it in the music and all the rest of that. And some togetherness, it's a very powerful force.
It is a very powerful force.
I see the element of the pride that the Latins will feel is very important to us, because unfortunately it's a little one-sided what the public sees. Very often they think of the Latinos as being very involved. They've been maligned because of the drug culture that's there. And a lot of the Hispanics, Latino people, are not aware of all the different types of music that they have in their heritage. So we want to make them aware and feel great pride in their background as well.
Well, I think that this is going to be a marvelous event. And give some information as to how people might get tickets. I have an email place here. Peg Martin?
Peg Martin. She's our administrative assistant.
Do you have that number, or you want me to give the one that I have?
I do have an email address, which is pmomartin@aol.com. So that's PM, as in mother, O, Martin, at AOL.com. They could also reach our own phone number, and we can give them information over there, or at least send them over to our administrative assistant, which is 215-482-3965.
Are there any last words you want to make about this event that's coming up before we go into some music that will tell us a little bit more about Hispanic culture?
Yes, I think that we would like to establish an annual Hispanic festival in Philadelphia on the Avenue. So this would be the first of a series of very special concerts in which the centerpiece will always be a creation of a commission work by two composers. And we have something else in mind, which I'm not allowed to say yet, which will be very significant coming on for the following year. So it will be a high-quality, diverse, exciting festival on the Avenue, and I think people would love it. They just need to know that it's happening, and once they come, I think they'll love it.
And then we'll wait to hear what those things are when they come up, and then you're able to share it.
Yes.
And in the meantime, what would you like us to go out on to end this program?
Well, why don't you play El Cuarto de Tula? That's from the famous movie Buena Vista Social Club, you know, which people just loved, and it's a beautiful piece with a Cuban flair. What? I'm Cuban, so I'm going to show something Cuban.
And that's on, that's a number...
Track one.
Track one on the album. Professor Maria Del Pico Taylor and Professor Raymond Taylor, thank you so much for being my guest on University Forum.
Thank you very much, Jean. It was wonderful to be here and share this information with you. And hasta luego.
We are honored to be your guest.
My honor. Please send your comments or questions on University Forum programs to me by email at jemoore@temple.edu or call my voicemail 215-204-4376.